Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. That's right. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, February 8th, 2018. Really hope you all are having a great back-end stretch to your week. We've got a great show, as we always do, here each and every weekday at 1 p.m. on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM, coming right your way. On today's Current Sports, we will recap what happened during his introductory press conference. Not what happened in a bad way. It was a great press conference, to be honest with you. As Matt Patricia, the new head coach of your Detroit Lions, was officially introduced to the public. We'll recap what Matty Patty had to say and his plans for the Honolulu Blue as he takes over in year one now. And I absolutely love this hire. I don't think I've been a stranger in saying that. I mean, Matt Patricia, the relationship that he has with Bob Quinn, they both come from a winning organization under Bill Belichick at the New England Patriots. I thought Matt, despite what we saw on Sunday from that New England Patriots defense that gave up almost, what, well, over, I should say, 500 yards. I mean, Matt Patricia, I mean, the dude knows what he's doing. He's got a great defensive mind, and I think he'll be a great head coach. But as we all know, this is the Detroit Lions organization, an organization that has let its fans down far too many times. So we'll talk about the presser. We'll talk about the expectations for Matt Patricia as he now enters his first year. I want to get your thoughts. Do you think that this was the right hire for the Detroit Lions? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We will also talk about signing day, which of course was yesterday, as many high school athletes across the nation signed on the dotted line and let their choices be known as to where they would take their athletic talents at the collegiate level. What happened with MSU football? What happened with the University of Michigan football program? Which there were a few surprises when it came to the maize and blue. Not great news for Jim Harbaugh and his college football program. It's Thursday. You guys know we love to hop into the Current Sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. We call it Throwback Thursday. That's on tap on the back end of this show. And our guest for today's Current Sports will be former Michigan State defensive tackle Craig Evans, who wants to join Current Sports today to voice his thoughts on, of course, the latest controversy surrounding the Michigan State football program as well as the Michigan State basketball program. But, of course, Craig, being a former MSU football player, he is going to voice his thoughts on what the ESPN report had to say concerning the Michigan State football program. Craig Evans will join us around the 1:30 p.m. mark. You don't want to miss that. He'll also talk about why he decided to leave the Spartan football program. So that and more. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports.
Live stream is up and running there. You can comment below the video, and I'll do my best, as I try to, to get to your comments throughout this hour. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Right, and we start with the Michigan State recruiting class. Of course, yesterday was signing day, and the Spartans added three players to its football recruiting class yesterday morning, getting an expected letter of intent from three-star receiver Jalen Naylor from Las Vegas Bishop Gorman High School. And MSU also added athlete David Cruz from Belding and offensive lineman Dan Van Opstel from Jenison, both of whom are preferred walk-ons. Now, the 5'11", 185-pound Naylor announced that he would attend MSU actually on Saturday, picking the Spartans over Nebraska, Wisconsin, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, among others. The 6-foot, 200-pound Cruz actually played quarterback for Lau this fall and becomes the third of his brothers to become a Spartan. Connor Cruz was an offensive lineman in 2010 to 2014, and Danny Cruz is a 184-pound redshirt freshie wrestler for Michigan State. Two players who were high-priority late targets turned down the Spartans: four-star receiver Tommy Bush from Texas, pick national runner-up Georgia, and three-star defensive end Habakkuk Maldonado from Florida chose Pat Narduzzi's Pitt Panthers. How about that? Pat Narduzzi, of course, former defensive coordinator for the Michigan State football team. All right, Jim Harbaugh and his Michigan college football staff weren't going to finish top 10 for a third year, but the Michigan football program had an opportunity yesterday to finish strong with its 2018 recruiting class. Instead, the Wolverines whiffed on a pair of recruits that they had been courting for some time. The Wolverines watched as five-star offensive tackle Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, a player they offered before anyone else, he ended up picking Michigan rival Ohio State. Then less than 15 minutes later, they watched linebacker Otis Reese, who had been committed to U of M for 18 months. You just never know what these young pups are going to do, right? He signed with Georgia. Georgia, and I don't know if you guys seen Georgia's recruiting class for this year, but man, oh man, is it a scary one. Watch out for the Bulldogs next year. Now, when it came to traditional signing day, Michigan came out big losers. Not only did they let Reese slip and miss out on Petit-Ferrer, but three-star quarterback Kevin Doyle committed since September. He decommitted from the program on Sunday to sign with AZ, Arizona. The Wolverines had won enough in the first 2 years under Harbaugh to still attract plenty of attention and their share of five-star prospects. There was none of that this year, making one wonder whether the glitz and glamour of simply playing for Jimmy Boy has worn off. Perhaps the Wolverines must recruit the old-fashioned way by winning. I like that. Well, we'll see. We'll see, right? All right, Michigan State men's basketball, women's basketball opens a four-game homestand against number 10 Maryland starting tonight at the Breslin Center. The Spartans are currently 14-10 this season, 4-7 in Big Ten play. The Terps are 20-3 overall, pretty good team, and 9-1 in the Big Ten Conference. The Spartans are looking to snap a five-game losing streak, a stretch of basketball in which Susie Merchant's team has not been completely healthy. The Spartans have five regular season games that left this season. This week, again, Maryland tonight, Michigan on February 11th. Michigan State will then face Nebraska on the 14th, Wisconsin on the 21st, both at home. MSU will conclude the regular season portion of the schedule on the road at Purdue on the 24th. I'll actually be at tonight's game. We'll bring you coverage from Michigan State women's basketball as they take on Maryland again on tomorrow's current sports. So look out for coverage and tune in to tomorrow's show. All right, the number 21 ranked University of Michigan women's college basketball team is also in action tonight. 19-6 overall, 8-4 in the Big Ten. The women will be in action at the Chrysler Center tonight, hosting Northwestern at 7 p.m. Northwestern 9-15 overall, 2-8 in the Big Ten Conference. Michigan and Northwestern are meeting for the second time this season, and the second time in 12 days, actually. Michigan came away with an 80-59 win over the Wildcats out in Evanston, Illinois on the 28th of January. Michigan got 27 points from Caitlin Flaherty. She is so fun to watch. And 25 from Haley Thome in the win. Michigan is out, though, to snap a two-game skid, which saw the Wolverines drop them by a combined, 9 points, including one in overtime. U of M, second in the Big Ten in scoring defense, faced the number one scoring defense in Rutgers and the number three scoring defense in Purdue over the last two games. The Detroit Pistons have taken advantage of the six-game homestand, playing really some of their best basketball of the year, right, during this string. Maybe the Blake Griffin trade has something to do with it as well. The Pistons are actually undefeated since the Blake Griffin trade. The Pistons playing one of the hottest teams in the league, taking a hard-fought 115-106 victory over the Brooklyn Nets last night at Little Caesars Arena. It's the fifth straight win for the Pistons, tying their longest streak of the season. Also, I'm seeing a lot of movement when it comes to the NBA. The trade deadline is now, less than 2 hours away at 3 p.m. There's a lot of moves that have been made, including one that involves the Pistons. I actually saw this news break, I want to say about 2 hours ago, but it looks as though the Pistons have picked up Jameer Nelson in a trade. Now, there are others involved in that mix as well. Willie Reed has now left the team, and we brought the news to you yesterday that Willie Reed, actually, who was involved in the trade to acquire Blake Griffin from the L.A. Clippers, Willie Reed had been suspended for 6 days, well, I should say 6 games, excuse me, due to a domestic violence situation involving his wife. So Willie Reed is no longer with the Pistons. Jameer Nelson comes in as a veteran guard with the team. Also, the Isaiah Thomas experiment is over for the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavs traded the point guard and forward Channing Frye to the LA Lakers today for guard Jordan Clarkson and forward Larry Nance Jr. Both Thomas and Frye are on expiring contracts. The Lakers now project to have $46.9 million in cap room this summer, when LA could really make a great run at acquiring possibly LeBron James and or Paul George. So that's the biggest news I'm seeing coming out of NBA free agency. And I'm going to ask, the NBA trade deadline, again, which looms right around the corner at 3 p.m. Ian Hawley, current sports engineer, if you see anything else, chime in, let us know. All right, brother, my man. All right, Matt Patricia. The Detroit Lions introduced their new head coach, Matt Patricia, at a press conference yesterday. The former Patriots defensive coordinator left most of his beard behind. Did you see that? Matt Patricia looks suited and booted, trimmed up the beard. It wasn't hanging low. It was neatly trimmed. But he did keep the trademark pencil behind his ear. Actually, you know, during the presser, he said, all right, I'm going to get comfortable now, guys. And he had the pencil in it, and I believe his right hand, and he stuck the pencil behind his ear. It was pretty funny. Pretty funny stuff. In just a moment, I'll kind of break down the press conference and give my take on whether or not this was the right move for the Lions and what we can expect and should expect in Matt Patricia's first year as the head man in charge. Don't miss that. Coming right around the corner. Also want to pass this news along to you all. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security is investigating an allegation that a former U.S. Olympic swimming coach sexually exploited a swimmer when she was a teen. Ariana Kukros, now 28, told investigators that the former coach, Sean Hutchinson, groomed her for sex, beginning when she was a young teen, and then sexually assaulted her multiple times and even took photos of her before she turned 18. My goodness, you hate hearing news like that, right? All right. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you would like to be a part of today's current sports. The question I'm asking here at the top of the hour, in light of the hire of Matt Patricia as head coach of your Detroit Football Lions, is that the right move? What do you think? You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and leave a comment below the live stream. And again, tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR.
Future of the Detroit Lions, the Lion organization, the players, and the fans. I believe that I am a leader. I believe that I am a problem solver. I want to represent the toughness of this city. We will be organized. We will be detailed. We will teach and develop our players and our coaches. We will be passionate. We will love and respect the game, and we will be committed to winning. We will be competitive in all that we do. We will have a smart, tough, fundamentally sound football team that will play, perform, and can execute under pressure. We will be hardworking, we will be competitive in all aspects of our planning, preparation, and our performance. We will have a high character culture. In our organization, our players will be positive role models and contributing members of the community. We will have a blue-collar mentality. We will work hard as a team to make this city proud. I look forward to meeting all the current, the former, the Lion legends, and learning from all those who have walked these halls before. I love the history and the tradition of the game. I'm excited to be a part of that legacy here. I'm very much appreciative, thankful to be the head coach of the Detroit Lions, but I'm very excited and very much so ready to go.
Ah, that's a clean shaved Matt Patricia. Well, not completely clean shaven, right? He just trimmed up the beard a little bit. Less scraggly is what I like to say. But Matt Patricia, you know, addressing the media during a press conference yesterday as he was formally introduced to the media and the public as the newest head coach of the Detroit Lions. I tell you, he is such an intriguing guy on so many levels. But just to clear the air, I'm happy about this move. I like this move a lot. I wasn't a big fan. I was one of those who was not a big fan of letting go Jim Caldwell. I thought that a lot of folks were just kind of looking at the surface. Did Jim have a few mistakes that really were glaring this past year? And I, of course, I noted it too. I mean, multiple times having less than 11 players on the defensive side of the football. His game management could have been a lot better, but I thought we jumped the gun a bit. But if you have the opportunity out there to get a guy who comes from a winning culture, a winning organization, like the New England Patriots, working alongside the great Bill Belichick, who is a future Hall of Famer, he's won 5 rings. If you got an opportunity to get a guy like that, why not, right? It's one of the biggest reasons why I loved the acquisition of Bob Quinn for upper management for the Detroit Lions. But you know what? When you look at this move, I mean, patience is certainly a virtue, without a doubt. And it is something that the Detroit Lions had to exercise when waiting to confirm the former New England Patriots defensive coordinator, Matt Patricia, as their 27th head coach. Can you believe it? That the Lions, my goodness, the Lions have had 11 head coaches in the past 30 years. 11. That's a lot of coaches. Now, after the 41-33 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles in Super Bowl 52 this past Sunday. And, oh, by the way, Ian, I watched for the first time, just to clear the air with this, the Justin Timberlake performance, halftime performance. I don't know why people were tripping that much, man. I didn't think it was the greatest, but I thought it was just like a Grammys performance. It was a good performance for the Grammys. I don't know if it was a Super Bowl performance. It was very on the surface, you know, Justin dancing and playing some of his hottest tracks. And but I don't know why our listeners were so angry.
I thought people made way too much out of the, is it a tribute? Is it not a tribute? You know, just watch Justin's performance. You know, he's got some images in the background. Like, that's not the important part. Yeah. The important part is going on stage.
What I will say, I can see the only part that I would criticize, I thought that the audio was a bit mixed up on some of the performance. I get that.
Sure, you know, and live performance.
Exactly. But also the hologram of Prince. You know, I'm a big Prince fan. I think that he's right there next to MJ. Well, right below MJ, just right below MJ. We could debate that back and forth. But the Prince performance, the reason why I didn't like it was creative. You know, the hologram, and he mixed up, you know, and I saw his interview on Jimmy Fallon. He actually mixed the audio with an old studio session and mixed that and synced it with, I believe, a concert performance. But Prince has been he was always very adamant in letting it be known that he hated holograms. So if the man, the myth, the legend, hates holograms, why in the world do you give him a tribute depicting a hologram? I don't understand that. So if anything, I didn't like that part. But overall, Justin, you know, he did his thing. I wasn't up in arms about the performance. I actually enjoyed it. But anyway, yeah, Super Bowl 52 this past Sunday. You know, we already knew that Matt Patricia was going to become the head coach of the Detroit Lions, and we already had in our minds that, my goodness, hopefully Matt wasn't going to pull Josh McDaniels, right, and say, I decided to stay with the New England Patriots organization, and I want to stay as defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick. That didn't happen. Matt Patricia was a man of his word, and it was confirmed. 43-year-old Matt Patricia would take over the franchise that has really cost this fan base just absolutely torture dating back to, what, like the 1990s. Now, what's particularly impressive about this move for me is that the Detroit Lions were able to beat out a team like the New York Giants. That says a lot about the pull that Bob Quinn has. Well, I should say more so about the relationship that Bob Quinn has with Matt Patricia. I mean, these are two dudes who worked with one another, you know, grinding with one another for 12 years, scouting different players, getting to know one another, staying in hotels with one another, breaking down film. I mean, these dudes are basically like frat brothers, okay? Now, also, not even that. I mean, the New York Giants, that's a big franchise with a huge name. But also, that's Matt Patricia's hometown. He's from New York and decided, I want to come to the D. That was very impressive in my eyes. The Lions landing a high-value coaching asset over a franchise like the New York Giants, impressive. Now, I enjoyed Matty Patty's press conference. I watched the entire thing this morning. And, you know, Matt Patricia, he stood at the podium, you know, had the neatly trimmed beard, suit and tie. He was very playful. He was very clear, concise, to the point with the media. But you know what I really liked about the presser? You know, when he began to highlight how he's going to be involved with all areas of this team, I love that. I loved it because you talk about control. When you evaluate the Detroit Lions, I mean, I felt at times, and it's something that I've always said when it came to Brad Ausmus, former Tigers manager. I just never felt, you know, when looking at Ausmus, when looking at Jim Caldwell's reign, I never felt like either one of those dudes had a firm hand on the steering wheel. They seemed a bit confused at times. I really liked how Matt Patricia noted that, quote, the good thing about being a head coach is anytime I want to call a play, offense, defense, or special teams, I get to call it. I think it's critically important as a head coach to stand in front of the team and explain to them, hey, look, this is how we are going to win the game. This is what we need to do on offense. This is what we need to do on defense. This is what we need to do on special teams. End quote. Because now this shows me that Matt Patricia isn't going to come in here and just run the defense. He will be involved in all aspects. And if he sees something wrong, he will take over and say, this is what we're going to do, as a head coach should. Now, Matt Patricia, during the press conference, did announce that he is retaining Jim Bob Cooter, saying that Cooter, quote, is on staff, end quote. Did not clarify whether or not Jim Bob Cooter was going to remain the Lions offensive coordinator and staying in that role, but you would assume that, right? Because in my opinion, I thought Jim Bob Cooter did an overall pretty good job under Jim Caldwell as the offensive coordinator. Saw some creativity there. I like what Jim Bob Cooter did. But you better believe that Matt Patricia will be involved in this process. All right? Now, all signs point to Cooter staying the offensive coordinator. If I had to guess, that's where Cooter will be staying. But Patricia will be calling the shots. Now, going back to what I said previously, I like the relationship that Patricia has with upper management of the organization. Bob Quinn, Quinn and Patricia, 12 years together under Belichick. You could see it. You know, when they were there, you know, on the podium with one another, I mean, they know each other. It probably was like a reunion yesterday for them. When you are really good friends with the people you work with, and when you have chemistry with the people you work with, it's kind of like you and me, Ian Hawley. I mean, we run this thing, baby. It's so much easier to work with people when you are cool with them, when you have good chemistry with them. It makes everything easy peasy, lemon squeezy, okay?
Nice and smooth.
Doesn't it? I mean, so it's cool to see, you know, both Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia. This relationship that goes back, I mean, 12 years with the Patriots organization. Now, I do want to say this. Again, I'm raining the praises of Matt Patricia right now. But again, I always, when I talk about the Detroit Lions and expectations and great expectations and winning, which is very rare when I do that here on the air, I gotta do that with a huge truckload of salt, because this is the Detroit Lions. This is an organization that has broken your hearts, Lions fans, time after time after time after time. So with that being said, there are, I would list, what, two reasons just to hit the pause button and let this play out for a moment. Matt Patricia has never been a head coach before. This is uncharted territory for him. I don't think that in 1 year, Matt Patricia is going to lead the Lions to a dang Super Bowl. Just making the play. The expectations for me is just to make the playoffs. The Lions make the playoffs, maybe even further than that. Get a playoff win. They haven't won a playoff game since 1994. Just get a playoff win, and that's success. That's what they should shoot for right now. Anything beyond that, wow, start throwing a party, right? And he's never been a head coach before, and he's never coached in the NFL outside of New England. So this is different. There's going to be an adjustment period for Matty Patty. I'm going to stop calling him Matty Patty. I actually hate that nickname. I heard many media members calling him that yesterday. I hate that nickname. Matt Patricia. You know, you got to move your family, you know, from Boston to Detroit, find a house, settle in. It's different. It's different. But take it for what it's worth. On paper, this was the right move. You come from coaching the tree, from the tree of Bill Belichick. You already have the recipe for a winning soup. Now it's about executing, which is a hard thing to do in the D. It's so cold in the D. Just ask Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz is a part, of the Bill Belichick coaching tree. And he failed as a four-year head coach for your Detroit Football Lions from 09 to 2013. Now, look at what happened on Sunday. Schwartz is a sexy head coaching candidate after leading the Philadelphia Eagles defense to a Super Bowl. I'm seeing the name of Jim Schwartz actually floated around as the next head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And we all know who was supposed to be the next head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, that being Mr. Josh McDaniels, who said, I'm staying here in New England. I like the hire. And now the preparation begins. And let's not also forget, I think this is probably the most interesting thing about Matt Patricia Ian. The man is a rocket scientist. Literally. I kid you not. I don't know if you knew this, Ian. Matt Patricia is a rocket scientist. He went to Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute and literally studied rocket science. I kid you not. He got his degree. It's crazy. I'll just read a quick quote. This comes from, I guess, a former head coach for the football team, Joe King, of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. I can barely even pronounce the dang school, right? Quote, I think he has a lot of qualities that are necessary to be a good head coach. You talk about how smart he is and his work ethic. And you can't be in a better place than working under Bill Belichick. And as far as learning how to be successful, I think Patricia is a good teacher. I'm not sure all head coaches are great teachers. And I think that's necessary because that's what coaching is all about. You're trying to get these guys from one point to another. Whether it's on high school level or college level or pro level, you're trying to get them better. So that's coming from former head coach at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, Joe King, where Matt Patricia studied rocket science. We got to hit this first break. But real quick, Ian, do you like this hire or no?
I like this hire. I mean, I'm really hoping to get a quote where the media goes to a practice and hears him yell, come on, guys, it's not rocket science. That would make my day. But other than that, you know, he's a defensive guy, defensive mastermind, some would say. The Super Bowl performance may not reflect that, but I'm not too worried about that. He's got his whole career behind him.
Yeah, that's a small sample
size. To back up for that, yeah.
So. Right. For sure. I like the move. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we will be chatting with former MSU football player Craig Evans. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just wrapped up segment A discussing the Detroit Lions hire of Matt Patricia, former New England Patriots defensive coordinator. I love the hire. The dude is smart. He's a great football mind. Looking forward to what he's going to do as the man with the headset on now. In the D. Again, also want to push this news along to you all. If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, the NBA trade deadline is now, about 90 minutes away from closing. The Detroit Pistons made two trades today, acquiring point guard Jameer Nelson from the Chicago Bulls and forward James Ennis from the Memphis Grizzlies. The Bulls acquired center Willie Reed. And the Bulls and Pistons will also trade 2022 second-round picks. The Grizzlies will get Bryce Johnson and a future second-round pick from the D. So the Bulls, actually, I'm saying this, the Bulls will waive Reed. And, of course, Willie Reed, you know, he was involved in that. Well, he's currently, I should say, serving a 6-game suspension without pay because of a domestic violence incident that took place at the end of last summer involving him and his wife. Also, a lot of reaction coming in when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers saying, bye-bye, Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas is no longer a member of the Cavs, and he will now head to the Los Angeles Lakers. And that frees up a lot of cap space. And the Lakers are going to make a huge push for LeBron James and Paul George. Just imagine, the Lakers get LeBron James and Paul George. LeBron's clearly not happy in Cleveland. I don't think the Cavs are making the NBA Finals this year. But LeBron isn't happy in Cleveland. They're losing left and right. They needed a LeBron James overtime buzzer-beating 15-footer last night to pull off a win. They're struggling right now. I don't think the Cavs are making the Finals, and I think LeBron, I think he's going to leave Cleveland to go somewhere. Will it be L.A.? I don't know. I don't know, but he's going to be somewhere. It's going to be like a huge marketing campaign on behalf of many teams out there to try and woo the best basketball player on planet Earth. All right. I want to shift gears right now. And, you know, yesterday was our first time on the air due to me being on vacation on the West Coast. And you guys know, before I left, we, for 2 weeks straight, focused heavily on what has been taking place here at Michigan State University. The Larry Nassar sentencing, the ESPN E60 report centered on Michigan State men's basketball and Michigan State football, Tom Izzo having to really just, I mean, what is the man supposed to do, right? I mean, really dance around questions concerning what was reported in the ESPN report. You know, he was approached by Tisha Thompson of ESPN Outside the Lines out in Maryland. Michelle Steele was present at one of the games at home. And right now, when you have a report like that come out, you got to let the investigation play out. But no doubt about it, there is a dark cloud that has hovered and still is hovering. It's going to hover for a long time over the campus of Michigan State University. Right now, I want to bring on a young man by the name of Craig Evans, who was actually a former Michigan State football player here at MSU. Actually had a pretty good redshirt freshman campaign. And then it was announced that Craig Evans would be leaving the program. And real briefly, Mike, I do see you. Mike, don't hang up. If you want to be a part of this conversation, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But current sports intern Karina Garcia reached out to me and noted that Craig wanted to speak his mind on what has taken place in these last few weeks as it pertains to the Michigan State football program. He played under Coach D'Antonio, knows the program pretty well, and it has really upset Craig Evans when evaluating what has been reported and how there has been a media firestorm of criticism, not just from the media, but from the public as well, when it comes to those ESPN reports. So right now, I'm going to start by just welcoming Craig Evans to the show. Craig, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, man, I'm breathing, so I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed to be alive.
You got it, my man. And again, just for clarification purposes, again, Craig was a member of the MSU football team from 2014 to 2015. And Craig, I believe you're now at Oregon State now, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, I want to start here, Craig. You know, I want to kind of keep it timely. So yesterday, you know that it was National Signing Day, as many high school athletes across the nation, you know, signed on that dotted line and let it be known where they will be taking their football talents at the collegiate level. Craig, for you, you talk about your recruitment to Michigan State University. You are, of course, from Wisconsin, went to Sun Prairie High School. What do you remember about your recruiting process and what attracted you to Mark D'Antonio and the MSU football program?
Man, first and foremost, it was we got to dive right into the, you know, what got me to, you know, believe in and trust in Mark D'Antonio with my future for the, you know, the upcoming years. It was just his, you know, authenticness, man. You know, his realness. You know, he was he didn't sugarcoat much, man. He didn't bleed around the bush, and that's just the type of guy I am. You know, man, I'm pretty sure you done had a conversation with me. You don't even know me that much. But I don't beat around the bush too much, so I don't like guys who try to confront me who beat around the bush. And Coach D, he saw that to me. He saw that through me ASAP. And, you know, we just found a connection. Also, Coach Pat Narduzzi, he's not there no more. He was a big, you know, he was a big piece of my recruitment. That guy was a, you know, he was a stand-up guy and just very spoken, you know, down the book. You know, so those two guys alone really combined to get me there. But, man, you know, just real, authentic. You know, Coach D was, you know, he would do that. He told you before he even. One thing I remember he said to me, man, you know, I was a big recruit coming out of high school. You know, I had a lot of schools at me and all this and that. And one thing he said to me that really just struck my attention, he was like, man, you know, Craig, you know you're a big-time recruit, but I'm going to tell you right now, we ain't going to do nothing outside of the ordinary to get you to come here. You're going to come to Michigan State, it's going to be strictly because you want to come here, not because you know, something you heard from the players, something you heard from us. We ain't going to sit here and say you're starting. We ain't going to sit here and say you're doing this and doing that. If you want to come to Michigan State, we stick because you wanted to. And that shifted the game, that shifted the recruiting process for me because he was one of the first coaches that really approached me like that. You know, every other coach, they're going to tell you this. They're going to talk about their uniforms. They're going to talk about their facilities. They're going to talk about how much money they're getting and how much money Nike giving them or Adidas and Under Armour, whatever the situation is. Not too many coaches, when they recruit you, just going to sit down and tell you the reals. And, you know, when I got around the players, my official visit, man, and you can ask them guys, Lawrence Thomas, Shalik Calhoun, Joe Heath, them all guys in the league now. But there was D linemen ahead of me at my time there. And I would ask them on my visit, man, what's the deal? Like, what's the real? I'm going to come here and I'm going to play. I'm going to come here and it's just going to be bull. Hey, man, you're going to come here and Coach D going to give you opportunity. Coach D love freshmen. You know, that was just to go with my realness. And I was just seeing if what Coach D was saying was real. And like I said, it backed it up. I had already knew what he was saying real, but that was just a go to show when I asked the players. They was all for him, and, man, it was just, if I had to say one word, it just struck my attention because he'd be his realness. Mm-hmm. He wanted the realness in the game.
Definitely. Again, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with former Michigan State defensive lineman Craig Evans. And as you just mentioned, Craig, I mean, yeah, you were really highly touted coming out of high school. You were listed as one of the nation's top defensive tackles by Rivals.com, number 11 overall, number 16 by Scout.com, named the top recruit in the state of Wisconsin by Rivals, and you were also on the Detroit Free Press Best of the Midwest list. So, you know, you look at, you know, your redshirt freshman season in 2015. You saw action in all 14 games on the defensive line. You earned your first letter, recorded 21 tackles. You were named to the All-Big Ten, All-Freshman team by BTN.com and ESPN. Craig, bottom line, did you see, especially during that freshman, you know, redshirt freshman campaign, you saw a long, successful tenure at Michigan State. Am I right?
Most definitely. It was all peaches and cream, man. You know, if I came there and did what I had to do, you know, it was going to be there for me. And I ain't, you know, I'm 23, man. I just turned 23, and it's like, you know, I only grow up. I only get older in life. Mm-hmm. You know, I just sit back and think back to some of Coach D words, man, when I was young back then. And he told me, though, everything he told me, it was before myself, man. My future there, everything was laid out for me in Michigan State. That's why when I hear the stuff with Larry Nash and people try to come at Coach D, man, it's just really – it really just, you know, I ain't the guy that's about the media. I don't even care. You know what I mean? I don't want no attention, but y'all ain't from the dog, my guy. You know what I mean? I know he ain't rocking like that.
And I'm gonna get to that in just a moment. I want to walk our listeners through, you know, your tenure here at Michigan State, because I definitely want to get your thoughts in just a moment on the ESPN report, because I know you got some strong thoughts. Craig, real briefly, though, on April 18th, 2016, it was announced by Coach D'Antonio that yourself and defensive end Montez Sweat would be leaving the team. What led to that decision from Coach D, and can you tell me the events that caused that announcement?
Man, basically, like I said, it makes my stomach cringe down to think about it, man, because it was nothing he did. You know, Coach D, man, he went to war for me. You know, it was all on me, man. It was all on me and my boy Tiz. You can call Tiz, he'll tell you the same thing, man. We did. Us leaving Michigan State was on us. You know, we forced Coach D heads. And like he told us, man, he was, once you put me in a situation where it's out of my hands, I can't do nothing for you no more. I'm going to go to war for you as long as I can. But once you put it in my hands, you know, me and Tez, we fell short end on the weed situation. You know, I'm proud about my, you know, I'm proud about my history, man. I ain't the same about mine. The struggle made me, you know, I'm better. I'm a better man today. You know what I mean? So, but it was weed, man. You know, I was failing drug tests, and Coach D, he was bending over backwards for me, man, left and right, trying to get me to see the bigger picture. You know, socially, man, I just couldn't get it together. On the field wise, I had it. I wasn't a trouble kid. You know, I ain't getting into no trouble out there with the law and this and this and this and that. It was just socially. I couldn't. I was just smoking weed, man. Just smoking too much weed. And it got to a point I had failed the NCAA test. And that's when all the spectrum got on me. Like, that's when, all right, not everybody know I smoke. It ain't just no Michigan State thing. It's everybody thing, man. So, and then I still didn't stop. And Coach D was still giving me a chance. So, like I said, man, he went to bat for me, man. It makes me sad to even think about it, but he went to bat for me, man. He went as far as he can go. And then it just came down. He didn't even want to let us go. I promise you to God he didn't, man. It came down to us. Because if I would have stayed, I would have had to sit out a whole year and a half or some more shit. Because he was like, man, you know, take it upon yourself. We won't make the suspension follow you, at least not the year one. The shit game is going to follow you. You know, he, what too many coaches are going to do you like that? They're going to bless you and tell you ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ain't going to make you sit out the year, but them sixth gang going to follow you. He's like, but you stay here, you're going to have to sit a year in the sixth gang. I'm like, damn, you know, so that's when I made that decision to get up out of there.
Now for you, Craig, have you talked to Coach D since then? Are you guys still in contact? What's that relationship like now?
Oh, yeah, matter of fact, man, you know, I was finna declare the draft after this year. You know, they had me going late fifth round. I ain't even play a snap this year because of that. I've been dealing with it in Michigan State. It's still been following me. And the NCAA making me go through 1,000 loops to get eligible again. But,
But you guys still talk.
Huh?
You guys still talk, though. You guys still keep in touch,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. In the sense of, like, when I was going to declare for the draft, I actually had called Coach D to see if he would give me, you know, because, you know, once you get on that level, the scouts call back to all your former schools and this and this.
Right.
And, you know, because he was all in my corner, man. Craig, I never had no – it was all positive for me and Coach D. Every time we talked, and I done talked. I talked to him maybe a month ago because I didn't know if I was going to do it, but I decided to come back for my last season. But at the time, I was going to do it, and I was going to actually go back to Michigan State's pro day.
Right.
But I ended up deciding coming back for my last year, and so that was – the end of that. But in terms of like me, he even was willing to vouch for me, man, and to scouts and to different coaches. I was thinking about going to a different school, still am a little bit, and he was, man, if you need me to vouch for you and need some coaches, tell them to call me, don't hesitate. But like I said, he know I'm not a bad student, man. I just fell out the end on the bad stick on the social part.
Hey, that's life, my man. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with former Michigan State defensive lineman Craig Evans. All right, Craig, let's get right to it now. You saw the ESPN report. You've read the ESPN report. It has been really the focal point here, one of the focal points here in on campus at Michigan State, and has been for about 3 weeks now. I want to ask you about the quote-unquote culture of the Michigan State football locker room during your 2 years here. How would you describe the culture, and what kind of off-the-field issues did you see, and how were they dealt with?
Man, the culture was to be upstanding Spartan men, you know, to stand behind that Spartan will and represent it with every good deed, every good bone in your body. And between Coach Madden, that strength and program, and Coach D, there wasn't no slipping through the cracks. Well, between Coach Madden and Coach D, wasn't no slipping through the cracks. You was going to get dealt with if you was late, if you was this. Like, you remember, you ever been scared, man? You ever been scared when you got in trouble?
All the time,
you know,
with
you
my mom.
Young, you remember when you was young and you got in trouble?
Yeah.
And your stomach was hurting, you didn't want to come home?
Right.
That's how it used to be when you was late, you know? Like, if you was a minute late, even if you came in there on time, you was late. As if to go to speak, the responsibilities and the standard Coach D held us at and then, you know, just the characters, the characteristics of the program. You know what I mean? That just goes to speak that if you think he wasn't playing about you being late, you think he's going to play about this sexual stuff, you know, we're going to, like you said, we're going to dive right into it, man, because we ain't even going to play around with it.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Me personally, y'all talking to a guy, I'm a stringer for everybody to know, y'all talking to a guy who Mark Antonio let go, you know? I can have some strong feelings towards him for that. Like, man, you let me go. I was a good talent. This and this, you know. You, I don't know. You stupid for that. You know, I can say whatever. But it ain't a bone in me that's going to do that because that ain't how I operate. I'm going to represent this man. And I say that because I know what he stands for and I know what he's about. At the end of the day, when all this, all, when everything rained down and all the sand settled in, I know what Coach D about. And I know for a fact, I'm willing to bet my life on it, my whole entire life, that he wasn't operating like that. And he wasn't operating to the sense where he was covering up sexual. But anything they got, I'm telling you, if you put those, you can ask anybody on the team, former player or not, if you put yourself in a situation that had sexual anything over, you was damn not off the team. You ain't mean, you could have been innocent from the start, I promise you. It was not, you know, I used to feel sorry for some of my homies. You could have been innocent. He ain't trying to hear none of that. You shouldn't have put yourself in that situation for this to happen to you.
So, Craig, you're saying that you saw certain players who were involved in something involving the opposite sex, and you saw...
If it was anything involving the opposite sex, man, like domestic violence or anything sexual assault, anything that had sexual, and it was a girl voice versus one of the football players, Coach D, he wasn't even budging, man. It wasn't even like he was trying to hear you out. Because the minute your name got in the situation, you was red locked. I'm talking about the minute it hit the fan and he got wind, he was red locked. And then as the story went on and he got into it, then he made his decision, all right, you gone. Go handle this. Or he made his decision, all right, go handle this. You red locked until you handle this, until your name come clear this.
Craig, were there many, Craig, I have to ask this, were there many incidences of sexual inappropriateness when it came to members of the MSU football team? Were there many that you can remember?
To be honest, man, my 2 years there, I didn't experience. In my 2 years in Michigan State, I'm trying to think, man, I'm thinking hard because I don't want to put out no lies. I'm going to be completely honest about this. I'm thinking very hard, man, and I didn't hear enough about nothing until I left in that situation with the younger guys, a year younger than me, happened.
Donnie Corley, Demetric Vance, Josh King, and Austin Roberts. And how close were you with those individuals? Those four players.
I mean, they was a class younger than me. They actually had got there the summer we left. But you know, they came on their recruiting visit. You know, Austin Roberts, and he was another one of my. You know, he had a case. He had his own case. Like when all that started happening after I left, and it just dropped my mouth. You know what I mean? So I'm like, man, because the first thing I thought when I started seeing all this, I'm like, man, them boys gone. They putting Coach D under the heat, and he's still going to be under the heat for this because they going to look at him like, why are these players even on your program? I already know how this business is, though, when they trying to make them look bad and this and this. So I knew he was still going to catch some type of heat from it.
Yeah.
One thing I did know, they was gone. We want no doubt about that. He was removing them off the team, and he was going to move forward from that. He was going to handle the media. And you see what type of season he had this year because he's going about everything the right way. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't care what you say.
All right, Craig, we only got about 4 minutes, less than that, left. I want to ask you two questions here. Just want to throw this at you. Is it possible that D'Antonio didn't know everything that was happening with his players off the field? And how much of that responsibility did he leave to other members of the staff?
And to be honest, I just can't find it within me to believe that, boss. I just can't. He let a player like me go. I'm still on my way to the league. He let a player like Montez Sweat go. You see what he's doing at Mississippi State. Enoch Smith, you know, he just letting players go. But if it was anything to deter the attention of the team, he was letting you go. Period. He didn't care how good you was. So it just, you got to be damn good for this man to put his job on the line for this sexual assault. Like, it's got to be something. I don't even know what you said. I don't even know what's possible to be said to Coach D. Because he letting players go for weed, we talking about, no?
Mm-hmm.
He let me go for weed. Montez Sweat go. He let us go for weed, man. Nothing else. We won nothing else. I promise to God it was nothing else. And you sitting here telling me that this man covering up for players, quote unquote, for sexual assault, I'm not a bone in my body, man. I'm like my one man. I'm like my guy Mike. You got to show me the facts. I need facts.
I hear you. All right, Craig.
That ain't going to cut it.
Hey, Craig, with 2 minutes left here, what do you want to say to Spartan Nation in defense of Coach D'Antonio and the MSU football program and what this entire campus really is going through right now?
I mean, I just want to say, I don't know how much people believe in God, but I do. God don't believe in sexual predators, and God don't believe in anybody who surrounds themselves with that. Because these teams at Michigan State speak for itself. Look at what the man done did over the years. God ain't bringing no good deed today if that man moving the way he moved. I'm just 100%. Larry Nance, he went about it his way. You know, I even got questions about that, man. I got questions on how the females just stay quiet for so long. That's my question to the end. But that's a whole other story. Coach D, to Michigan State, go back to the basics, man. Go back to the facts. Go back to the proof of what this man done did to that university, what he done brought to that university. Go back and see them put in the league, how they doing well off. Go back and see how, you know, the players that ain't even playing football, what they doing with their lives, man. Just go back to the basics. Until you get back, not turn your head against Coach Izzo or Coach Mark D'Antonio. I can speak for Coach Izzo. He had recruited me. Those guys ain't cut like that. Y'all should be like me. If we ain't got no facts, we ain't got no room to be putting ourselves to be saying anything. We ain't got no room to be saying anything. We need hard facts. I need to see black and white saying Coach D cover. I need to see an email saying Coach D did this. I need to see a phone call, something. Let me see something. Right now, all I'm hearing, and the hearing ain't going to cut it for me. Right now, our generation, this world is filled with he say, she say media. This world is filled with the media can attack and destroy somebody's character. Not me. I'm not going to let you do me like that. I'm not immature. I'm not a little boy like that. I see past all that. So I'm hoping all the other Michigan State fans are grown, mature, and see past the media side of it and want some facts.
All right. Strong words. Craig Evans, former Michigan State defensive tackle. Craig, keep in touch, my man. Really appreciate the time on this Thursday afternoon.
Thank you, man. Everybody stay blessed.
Craig Evans, strong words. All right. We will have certainly a conversation on what Craig had to say on tomorrow's Current Sports. But until then, we only have 20 seconds left until we take a 23-hour break. But we'll be back at it to close out the week. Same time, same place. You have been listening to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Be easy, people.